Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Roger Parent of Digital Position. Roger started his agency in 2014 and has grown to 30 full-time employees. Today, we're going to be discussing Roger's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Roger.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think that you have to be doing something that you love. And both my parents were entrepreneurs. And my parents never missed a volleyball game or a soccer match. They were always involved in my life as a kid. I was very lucky to have that. And so I wanted to be an entrepreneur, not just for the growth or financial success, but really so I could have a family, have three kids now, and able to have the flexibility to choose to be able to attend every game and be there with my family. So that's sort of what kind of motivated me in the early stages was both my parents were entrepreneurs and saw how they were able to do that.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I know I was raised by a family of entrepreneurs as well, and I've really never considered another path. You know, when that's what you're exposed to, then, you know, I think it's just partially, you know, that environment of what you're exposed to, but also I feel like it's just in you a little bit that you have that, you know, you just think bigger than, you know, you have your own ideas and you want to be executing them. So, and then of course, it's so important to be able to, you know, not regret missing spending time with your family. So it's so nice when you've got that flexibility as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was really awesome to have growing up, and easier said than done for sure in hindsight.
Of course. Yep.
But sort of the goal was always to get there working for other people with, you know, how can I start my own thing? And it eventually worked out for me.
Yes, of course. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing?
So I graduated college with a computer science degree. I was a programmer at heart at first, fell into sort of an operations manager role and picked up some marketing skills throughout that process for a vitamin company.
Okay.
Then I moved in. Yeah. So I was sort of selling supplements online. and then I moved into a custom apparel company, where I was a SEM manager. I was SEM specialist and worked my way up through into management and leadership there. I just learned really by doing. I think that's the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. So even though I was a programmer, I learned through managing these companies how to basically do digital marketing, starting off with more analytical things like Google Ads, and eventually an SEO where some development is needed to increase page speed and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually branched out to things like social as I learned more in the marketing space. And then Logo Sportswear, the custom apparel company I was at, propelled me into going on my own from there.
Okay, very good. And then what was the deciding factor to, you know, start Digital Position? I know you mentioned you wanted that flexibility with your family as well. Talk a little bit more about that story that you have of starting Digital Position.
Yeah, I think what the quote is, luck is when preparation meets opportunity or something like that. Is that the right quote?
Yeah.
So I would say I got lucky, but I was ready for an opportunity. So at my old employer, I had transitioned the PPC account in-house. In my first year of managing it, I had made them over $1 million incremental on the bottom line. So I knew I could do this. I was pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. And so I had a ton of leverage at that point. And so my intention was to become leadership at that company. And so I went and asked for it, you know, politely went and asked for growth. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it would be a very long road to be able to accomplish that. But I also knew I was at a moment where in my career where I had a massive amount of leverage, and I took a huge risk of, I'm going to leave, start my own thing, and hope that this company hires my company, because mm-hmm. the alternative is to go back and pay the other agency way more and get worse results, or they can go with who's making them a lot of money. And so I took the risk, quit with no kind of guarantee of anything, mm-hmm. And pitched them on, hey, if you want to continue this relationship, love to keep working with you. It would just be under Digital Position and not as an employee of yours.
Yeah.
And then I worked with them and still have a relationship with them to this day. I worked with them for like 6 more years. That sort of propelled me into being able to start my own thing.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I can imagine that would be a really scary, risk to take, but you've got to take those risks, those calculated risks as an entrepreneur. And it worked out. So that's a really cool story.
Yeah. And take them while you're young, right? Because you can always just go get another job. But I was, I was probably 24, 23 at the time, but I did have a mortgage and a car payment and things like that at the time, that mm-hmm. a lot of student debt that, I was underwater on. And so it was a huge risk, but, you know, paid off for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting. And then, so, you know, in those early days, obviously, you know, you had your first big client, which was amazing. How did you continue to grow Digital Position and bring on more businesses that you could be working with?
So in the early days, I would do anything that anybody would pay me to do just to be an entrepreneur. So it was like, I learned some Photoshop skills. I learned, I knew web development at the time. I knew SEO, PPC, and I just acquired as many skills as I possibly could in marketing as a whole, and just sort of pitched anything for whatever people were willing to pay me. Mm-hmm. The challenges then were, you know, I'm basically providing a cheap service because I'm just not great at these things. I'm great at PPC and SEO, but I'm not the best web developer. I'm not a great designer, but I'm doing it because some people are willing to save money to go with me on that. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of like local chamber of commerce stuff, just like local networking and whatnot, in the very beginning, until I evolved to the point of where I have more fleshed out growth processes now. And now we have enterprise level, you know, $500 million brands we work with. That is just such an evolution from the small mom and pop shop up to where we are now.
Yeah. And then, so fast forward to today, how do you continue to grow Digital Position? How are you continuing to bring leads into the agency and then close those prospects?
Yeah. So I think you have to learn how to be a true CEO at a certain stage. And that stage for me was around 15 employees, 15 to 20, where, you know, you just can't do so much anymore. You can't. You need to hire people that are smarter than you and providing the service, so you have the time to be able to focus on these growth initiatives. But we've primarily gotten leads through two sources. One is I'm incredibly networked in the industry now, other agency owners, and connecting with people that provide services that we don't. So we will, I find conversion, we have a whole massive Monday board of it, you know, conversion optimization people, designers, branding people, every sort of like industry that does things that we don't. We have 3 or 4 trusted partners on each one, mm-hmm. That we can refer out. If someone needs a designer, we're not designers, we'll refer out and get a commission for that. And then we connect with these people and they give us typically a lead or two a week comes from a referral from our referral network, basically. And then we get a lead a day from our website by doing our own SEO. So from our own blog writing and, you know, optimization to our site. So we end up with a lead and a half a day, basically, wow, through those two alone.
That's impressive. Yeah, it makes so much sense just investing that time in, you know, those strategic partnerships. So that's really interesting that you've got so many of them. And then, you know, you're just able to refer work back and forth to each other.
Yeah. And they're warm, cushy leads, right? I mean, a referral comes in and it's like so easy to land.
Yeah.
I mean, versus a cold lead comes in via the website. It's a longer process. Normally you have to do a really detailed audit. You got to do some custom work for those people to mm-hmm. really show your value. Mm-hmm. Versus the referral network, I think people discount the fact that those leads come in and they're like, some of those leads we sign in within 3-4 days, you know, they're just ready to sign. Mm-hmm. So that's a really big benefit of getting a really good referral network.
So I'm curious, you know, when you were connecting with your now strategic partners, what was that process like? You know, did you just do, you know, cold outreach to another agency, ask them if they wanted to, you know, talk a little bit more about this opportunity, or what did that process look like for you?
We tried some cold outreach because we had leads to give. So we had value to give these people. Mm-hmm. But another thing that we did was, I would say 50% of it was cold outreach. 50% was connecting with business consultants who have their own networks that they're willing to connect you with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, business consultants, you know, will typically come in, consult on the business, and then connect you with a bunch of partners to get their strategy implemented. Mm-hmm. And so we work with a number of business consultants who have networks and partners that we're also close with. So we can refer their partners to our clients too. And they tend to have like a good network already vetted. Mm-hmm. So yeah, some cold outreach, but once you get trusted partners, then you can ask who they refer for other services and who they refer. And so it gets easier and easier that right now, if I need another conversion optimization specialist, I can ask 15 different agencies who they use for CRO and I can get 4 or 5 leads from my network now at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really cool. That's so interesting. And then, so obviously, you know, you've got a ton of happy clients. You guys bring in lots of referrals. So what is that key to maintaining happy clients who are going to bring in those referrals to you at the end of the day?
So it starts with your internal culture because we're a service business. Our product is our people. So you better have, we're a performance-driven agency, really premium agency, high touch. You know, we have Slack channels with our clients. We are friends with our clients, even outside of work. So we're very, we try to be the best of the best on SEO and PPC. But that starts with bringing in really good culture fits and then taking really good care of your people. And then it's easy to have them take that energy and passion out to the client. And we try to match the personalities of our teammates up with clients' personalities as well. Cool. So if you have that, so that's something that we do that will, you know, if we have a client that's more quiet, we'll put them with someone who's really energetic on our team and, or vice versa. They're really energetic, maybe a little bit, somebody who's more analytical. So we try to match our account leads up to clients and we try to have, really take good care of our people, so that they love working here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I know it's so important because, you know, your happy team members, they're just going to be, like you mentioned, you know, they're going to be so much more passionate and excited about their jobs. They're going to bring that energy to work every day, and it's just going to produce a higher quality of work and result in also just them having a lot more loyalty for your agency as well.
Yeah, totally. Especially in a world where agencies have a really hard time with retention because they're always trying to steal from each other. So it's,
yes,
a tough industry to have really good retention in.
Yes. And hiring is not, I don't think anyone really likes the hiring process.
So. Yeah, we use a number of recruiters that are like vetted and trusted at this point. Mm-hmm. The recruitment fees are so high, but they're still worth every penny because mm-hmm. a bad hire can hurt you so, so much.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Interesting. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Digital Position?
The biggest challenge has probably been getting the right people into the right spots. Mm. So, you know, a lot of times you'll have an amazing, have you heard of the Peter Principle?
No.
The Peter Principle is a concept where someone may be a great developer and then you promote them to a senior developer and they do pretty good there. And then you promote them to a development supervisor. Now they're managing some other employees and maybe they're a little uncomfortable, but they're doing okay and they can figure it out. Now you move them into a manager of a department and it's a totally separate set of skills because they might be the best developer on the planet, but they might not be the best with people and management skills and, mm-hmm. and the psychology of dealing with different personality types and whatnot.
Yeah.
So as an organization grows from just me starting it out to 30 people and including some contractors and things now, you have people who grow throughout the company and you get to certain points where, you know, that person may not be a great director, even though they were a good manager or, you know, as they grew up. So the hardest part for me has been learning to put people in the right positions for them based on what they're looking to accomplish in their careers. Being willing to put the culture in front of everything at all costs. And that comes down to people too, where you might have the most talented but toxic employee mm-hmm. and you've got to be able to move away from them. It doesn't yeah. matter how valuable they are, how great they are. If they hurt your culture, get them out because then everyone else rises and feels better and you get more productivity from the rest of the staff. So I would say just the people component of figuring out the right org chart and how to place people in roles that they're really passionate about every day and identifying the best leadership team and, you know, organizing your teammates mm-hmm. And bringing in the right talent has been the biggest challenge by far of growing the agency. Growth has been easy. Whenever we sort of open the growth spigot, we get a bunch of clients and then it's like, all right, how do we make sure we handle this right?
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely easier said than done finding those right positions for your different team members. So how do you, you know, sort of figure that out and work through that puzzle?
Yeah. So in the beginning, what I found was I was just hiring really nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pendulum swung where I hired very, very intelligent, but not so nice people. and now I've, think we've figured the right balance out. But I think ultimately you hire people, not skills. So I've had some people come into the company with no experience in PPC and SEO whatsoever that are a top five performing person in the company in 6 months. I mean, it's so unbelievable when you get the right people.
Yeah.
They can outshine someone who has 10 years of experience in this industry because the industry changes so fast.
Yeah.
That it's just, you got to get the right people in the door, almost experience be damned. Cause if they have grit and drive and they're bring positive, good energy, they're going to figure it out pretty quick.
That's so interesting. And then, so it sounds like you guys invest in a lot of training. What does that look like within your agency?
Yeah. So we try to video document everything. So we have, like when a new employee starts with us, they go like through all their HR training in the first week, and then weeks 2 through 4, they have their other video training for their department. They work with their manager. But beyond that, like we always have the resources and the video training to back up the staff to learn what they need to learn. But we try to get everyone exposure and get their hands dirty as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So the same way I think I said earlier that like you learn best by doing.
Yes.
You know, that's what we want our employees to see what it's like to look at and make tweaks in a account that spends $1 million a month. You know, mm-hmm. that's unbelievable experience that you can get very fast here And that's what we try to do with every employee, is get them visibility and, you know, starting to do work in the accounts and not being afraid to ask questions. You know, we kind of throw them into the fire, but also be willing to jump in the fire with them at any moment.
Yeah, of course. I agree. You know, it'll be difficult at first, but then that's how you learn and grow as a professional, as an employee. And yeah, you just got to jump in, get started, and then you'll get better as you grow.
Yeah. People don't have the attention spans to sit and watch hours and hours of video anymore, you know?
True. So very true.
Better to get them in there.
Exactly. So where do you see digital position in 5 years' time?
Great question. We are on the track to, we're trying to get to 30 million in top line revenue. We're at 5 million right now. So in 5 to 7 years or so, 30 million has been the goal. Preferably before I turn 40, I'm 33. So that's been sort of the goal, is at that point, I'd love to grow the company to a point on whatever timeline sort of works out, to where I can hand the company off to the amazing people who helped me get there, right? You know, so I wanted to get a lot of fulfillment out of being able to promote from within, have people experience unbelievable success stories with us, and then be able to eventually appoint a new CEO to work maybe part-time for the company and see digital position become someone else's over time. So that's been sort of the dream.
Very cool. So yeah, it sounds like you've put a lot of thought into that 5-year plan. And yeah, I love that, you know, you plan on promoting within and just really trying to create a legacy with digital position.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So we are coming to the end of our conversation here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five. So I have 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Got it. I'm ready.
All right. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I read almost no books. I largely read articles and try to be very selective with my time. The only book that I can really think of is, I think it's called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller, I think.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, because I'm a huge proponent on being authentic, which is, you know, TikTok sort of forcing everyone into that authentic realm, mm-hmm. and building a really good brand. You have to sort of have a really good humanized brand that you then do marketing with, not throw marketing under a crappy brand. So that book really gives a bit of a recipe on a way to create a story-based brand.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. It's a great recommendation. And what does your morning routine look like?
Wake up at 6:30, try to do some deep uninterrupted work for an hour, get the kids out the door, from 7:30 to 7:50 or so, try to punt them out the door before the the bus arrives. And then I do a little bit more work, and then I will I try to get a workout in from 9 to 10:15 or so from there. So say pretty simple. I food prep, so that's been really impactful for me to be really efficient with my time, but also be healthy.
Yeah, I love that. Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, not a single CEO. I have a couple different like mentors and business consultants that I work with, but I think of diversity of opinion is really important, and you sort of learn from a variety of sources. So I don't try to emulate any one person. I try to be my own. But I try to just have a diversity of opinions from all different perspectives, different channels and whatnot. And that's helped me.
Interesting. Okay. Very good. And then what is your favorite online tool?
Probably monday.com. I just think that task management software, if you have like a really good task management software, and great processes within there, you could save a ton of time by like automating the generation of tasks, automating archiving tasks and creating really clear processes in there. And then you don't have to, you know, we don't monitor our employees' computers. We don't micromanage people. If you have a good process of task management, then you can kind of, it's pretty obvious when people are providing value and not, you don't need to, you know, punch in and punch out and those kind of things. You just work with adults.
Yeah.
So I would say Monday.com is probably my favorite because it just keeps us, the whole company, organized for being all remote.
Yeah, perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh, that's a really tough one. One thing I wish I had known when I began my career, I would say the importance of being humble. So when I was young and I was, you know, made that company $1 million, I come out with some hotshot, cocky young kid thinking I can start my own thing. I have a little bit of success in my early stages. And sometimes it could be harder to handle success than even failure. Failure kicks you in the butt, right? You're motivates you. It's like, I got to figure this out.
You're very humble after getting kicked down and failing.
Yeah, exactly. But success really builds your ego. And so, you know, it can be more difficult throughout a growth trajectory, mm-hmm. not to just think you're always right. And so I think I would tell my younger self to stop being such a poop and be more humble and, you know, delegate more and listen to your team more and let them try things and let them fail. And because I learned those lessons sort of midway through my journey, and that's made me into better CEO now. But
yeah,
you know, hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a really great recommendation.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Roger. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed learning about your journey of starting Digital Position. So thank you again for being our guest on today's episode.
No problem. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.